Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. A lot to get to on today's program, of course. But like many of you today, Canuck Central is with heavy hearts regarding what happened here in our city on Saturday at the Lapu-Lapu Festival. I know there's still a lot more questions than answers on everybody's minds, and it's tragic reading some of the stories as they are slowly filtering out of the victims. We can only hope that the families and friends of the victims are able to grieve their loved ones in time after what is one of the most tragic days in Vancouver history.
Yeah, I mean, it's so absolutely heartbreaking, and you hear more details, and you get the some names, some faces, you hear about families, and
heartbreaking, man. It's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's just so difficult to imagine being in that situation. And you know, Vancouver is a big city, but it's also a small city. So I think, you know, especially us who've lived in this city for a long time, everyone is somewhat connected to something, you know. So I think all of us, or at least most of us, at the very least, know somebody or somebody who was there, or knew somebody at the very least who was unfortunately injured in such a tragic way. And I understand the anger, and I'm as angry as anybody else is when something like this happens. But more than anything, to your point, in this stage, the most important thing is offer support to fellow citizens and those who have been impacted. And I wish nothing but peace, love, and with time, some contentment with the tragedy that's happened.
It's going to take a long time. That was it was tough to see on Saturday. And you know, the street festivals in our city are always so great. I attend them a lot in the summer, certainly during the time off, and you know, I'll continue to do that. But definitely, definitely grieving along with many others across the city today. Let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
It is Canuck Central, and yes, the open is where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The Canucks, first and foremost, I guess the Abbotsford Canucks moving on in the Calder Cup playoffs. That's good news. We'll dive more into that a little bit more in the playoff central roundup. A big 5-0 win over Tucson. But there is an update on Rick Tocchet.
Kind of. There's an update about some of his demands or some of his questions or concerns,
and somewhat money related given the cost of putting together a practice facility.
Okay,
but
all right,
okay. It's definitely a part of the negotiations.
Yeah, okay. So do you want to just get to the clip so we can give our opinion? I know people have probably heard about this all day already, or at least know about the situation.
So Elliot Friedman today with an update on the Rick Tocchet conversation, negotiations on the 32 Thoughts podcast. And here's what he had to say about the Canucks negotiations with Rick Tocchet.
He had some interesting comments about their practice facility. Now, the Canucks are the one team that doesn't have one. And I understand that was one of the reasons that Rutherford talked at length about that is because Tocchet has brought that up as a thing. And I would understand that. You know, I think if you're the one team that doesn't have one and the Knights where your main rink is not available and you kind of have to go into a public rink and it's a little bit different, I could see why that would drive a coach crazy. So I heard those things were not a coincidence, that they didn't just come up out of nowhere. That was one thing that Tocchet had kind of brought up, is that bothered him a bit about the Vancouver situation. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But if you follow real estate, Justin, you know, real estate in Vancouver is not inexpensive. And that is clearly, even though Rutherford had some pretty hilarious comments about what he would do to try to get it done, it's obvious that it's a bit of a thing. Not everybody lives in the Stramati palatial estate out there.
Elliot's got jokes.
Yeah. Shermati, palatial estates. I'm not going to make fun of Dom.
No. I'll just say, Elliot can speak on his own, but I got multiple Vancouver properties.
It's, multiple. Yeah, it's multiple. Easy. We'll pick them up.
Several. Many. Yeah.
You have the
dozens.
Reach has a Monopoly version. They're about the size of...
my side gig is a real estate mogul. Yes.
Why are you here?
Yeah. It's completely not true. The practice facility. Okay, so thinking back to what Jim Rutherford had to say last Monday, now in the end of season wrap, and
speaking of dark, he got dark. He's like, I might be dead.
He's, you know, really the discussion around the practice facility has forever been around Jim Rutherford as he's been here.
Yeah.
And now it's become a part of coaching negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild, right? Because they've been trying to figure out a practice facility for the better part of a decade, almost 2 decades.
Yep.
Like, I think space programs have been able to launch in less time than it has taken to figure out a practice facility in Vancouver. And based on what Rutherford said, it's like we're not getting an update anytime soon.
Yeah.
And we've heard, hey, hopeful and soon for long enough to hear a sobering not anytime soon tells you it's probably not going to be anytime soon.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's going to be more urgency on it because realistically, like, even if Tocchet does continue here in the next 3 years, is it realistic that the Canucks would have a practice facility done 3 years from today if they simultaneously announce an extension for Rick Tocchet and a practice facility being in the works? Like, it's Vancouver. I mean, we've seen how long it's taken the Canby Bridge to get refurbished, man. It's going to take a long time to build your own practice facility.
Yeah. So I mean, and again, like, Calgary's going to have their new building and facility soon. So when that happens, the Canucks and Vancouver will be the only team. And that's going to remain a thing for a couple of years, at least,
it seems.
It's
a problem for players and it's a problem for the coach.
So how big of a problem is it for the coach? To me, Reach, I look at this very simply. If you're Rick Tocchet, and let's say, I think what this also indicates is you're talking about a longer term contract. You know, we've been talking about how, hey, maybe Tocchet is looking at a shorter term deal to align himself with Quinn Hughes. Would that make sense for him? If you're sitting here and this worried about a practice facility, you're not talking about a 1 or 2 or 3 year deal, because even if Tocchet wants a facility started, say, today, mm-hmm. it's still going to take 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So if he's signing a short-term deal, there's no way he's getting a facility. But if he's signing a longer-term contract, does he see a practice facility during the life of his contract?
Yeah.
I think, okay, that may matter. So if you're Rick Tocchet, and clearly this is something we're finding out that is an issue, practice facility. Quinn Hughes, we don't know his future mm-hmm. yet, right? The organization has acknowledged as much. So if you're Rick Tocchet, you're looking to sign a long-term deal in Vancouver. You don't know what's happening with a practice facility yet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's happening with Quinn Hughes. And let's say you're also being asked to take less than market value as you see it.
Yeah.
Now, the Canucks have said they made an offer that's making him the highest paid coach they've ever had.
Yeah.
Right. So they're saying they've made a great offer to him, which you can be fair and truthful about that, right? But it may still not be what Tocchet is looking for.
It may not be what Tocchet knows is out there and available for him on the market.
So I don't have a practice facility.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have Quinn Hughes long term, and I'm going to take less money.
Yeah.
How does that make sense for me? I wonder if we start aligning the issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, to me, it comes down to money then. If you give him what he's asking for, he'll come back.
Yeah.
But I think it's becoming clear. It's like, hey, it's tough to take less than what I can get elsewhere when I have these other things to deal with.
Yeah. And that is part of a negotiation. And it's pretty clear where we're at in this situation. You know, thinking back to training camp last year in Penticton, aside from answering questions about the fitness testing and all that, Rick Tocchet must have said more than a handful of times how much he liked having two sheets.
Yeah, I mean,
two sheets of ice to work with. He repeated it like over and over and over. I love having two sheets. It's great having two sheets. It's so good to have two sheets. We can get a couple of groups out there. We can do different things on different sheets. It's got two sheets. Love, I'm a two sheets guy. You know, it's mm-hmm. just love having two sheets.
Do you think he has a fitted sheet and a flat sheet on his bed?
He's it's a multiple just, sheet guy.
I'm just a one sheet guy personally.
Yeah. Oh, really? No,
really only the sheet? Fitted.
Really? Yeah. That's it, huh?
Yeah. Because yeah. The flat one gets all.
I that's why
know.
You got to. I mean, you don't do your bed properly.
No. If my wife forced the flat sheet on me, I'd accept it, but she's okay with the fitted sheet.
You got to like make your. I'm not gonna get into this.
Okay. Wow, Sat's really got
I didn't know you were so passionate about it.
On making sure bed. That the flat sheet is there and available for him.
Yeah, I mean, just sleep with the duvet then?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
What's so wrong with that? Yeah.
My place is warm.
Yeah.
Sounds like Regis on my side.
Yeah, definitely definitely on Josh's side for this one.
So then, unlike on if you get hot, for instance, you can have a... Anyways, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to do this.
Those weren't the sheets that Rick Tockett was mentioning anyways, so...
Probably.
Two sheets of ice at the rink.
Imagine
that they were
it's about
holding.
Thread count instead.
Yes. Is there 1,000... Is it Egyptian cotton? Like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Hungarian goose down or what?
Yeah.
Okay. Tockett wants a practice facility. And ultimately, like, it could be a legacy thing, too, like... Part of what he's done here is helping the Canucks finally get their practice facility. But it's also, what has taken this so long and why hasn't it been done yet already? You know, like, welcome to the 21st century of professional sports teams. How does the Whitecaps have a proper practice facility for their club?
Yeah.
And how does every other team in the National Hockey League have a practice facility for their club? PWHL already has a plan of where the Vancouver team is going to be practicing out of. Meanwhile, the Canucks are like, yeah, we're at UBC today. Oh, here we're at Rogers Arena. Maybe we're going to find some ice somewhere else today. We didn't have ice today, so we couldn't practice.
Yeah.
This needs to be figured out. And I know that there's reasons as to why, and some of them probably fall at the feet of ownership already. You know, I think that's fair to be said, given how long it's taken to get this done. But figure it out. Like, something's got to get done sooner rather than later. I can't believe this has taken so long.
Yeah, and it's being brought back up again. It gets brought up a lot. And for a long time, you can look at it and say it's a bit overrated.
Yeah.
And I do think to the degree it gets talked about, it probably is still somewhat overrated. But I think for coaches... For players, obviously, having a better facility, I think, makes things easier. But as long as you provide the things players want, I think they'll be okay with it. Like, good food, bring the stuff out to help them out. So I think it makes it a little bit easier for them. The coaches, though, like, you don't have a room that's dedicated to you doing your video stuff. So you're working in makeshift situations. I get it from their standpoint. It's probably a lot harder because they can't do the things they want to do without a real nice home base, right? Mm-hmm. I think it makes things more challenging not having state-of-the-art stuff, and especially when you know what other teams are dealing with. So I think this is more of a coach-related thing anyways. I think the players, of course, want a better facility. I think they'd love to be in a central place that you have all the amenities. But I think for the coaches, they feel like their day-to-day, it's harder to get their message across and do their thing if they don't have a facility that's dedicated to doing it. I think for their perspective, this is different than how players view it even.
Players, there's an element of like players having the 1% problem, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where players do not love having to go out to UBC to practice.
No, they don't love it.
I mean, I used to play beer league out of UBC. I hated it.
Yeah, driving up to UBC.
I gotta pay for parking. I gotta like do all this stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also can't control sometimes like people having to commute because you can't control where players live.
No,
and depending on where you put the facility, maybe commuting becomes an issue. You can't have a perfect.
If you
want to
live in West Van, you know we're practicing out of UBC. That's going to be a you problem. Sorry.
So I think from the commuting aspect, I think that's just life sometimes.
Yes,
but I do think obviously they need a facility, right? But I'm just saying from
players will complain about that.
Of course,
and players will think about those kinds of things, mostly from a free agent aspect. I'm not saying Canucks have lost out on free agents because of the practice facility alone. I think there's other factors that play a bigger part in a player's decision in free agency, but you know, it doesn't hurt to have a practice facility that's close to the rink or close to where you're going to live. And we've heard it 1,000 times with Vegas how it's so nice. A lot of the players live in Henderson, and the practice facility is close by, and it's very convenient for them, and all those things. You know, it's just it's a nice to have for players, and eventually word gets around that those things are available to you as a Vancouver Canuck or otherwise.
Yeah, listen, I haven't been privy, obviously, to the discussions that have happened in the past about facilities that were in discussion that were close to mm-hmm. Rogers Arena, but obviously they didn't work out.
Man, the Edgewater one would have just been like...
would have been perfect. Now, again, like...
it's like every time I walk it over, like, man, this would have been a great practice facility.
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, I know there's been some reporting and some suggestions, yeah. but to have a clear understanding of what exactly happened, it's difficult to yes. sit here and talk about that. But obviously, there have been things that they've discussed that haven't come to fruition. Mm-hmm. To the point you mentioned, though, if you want to do all those things, it is going to cost a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying don't pay the money, but to the point Tones made, good luck building a facility within 20K of downtown. I think if you're looking at building a facility, is it realistic for them to do it in downtown, where if you're looking at the parcel of land that it will take to do that?
Yeah, it's not happening downtown.
Right. It's not.
No.
So... so you're commuting wherever yes, you're going.
You like, are commuting no matter where you're going.
I know there's been discussions about everything players, happening around Oak Ridge in that area.
Yeah, but like, if players know that the practice facility is going to be in a certain spot, then maybe they would plan
sure.
their living situation around.
And
that.
For instance, because there is a lot of construction in the city, obviously.
Yes.
And I know, you know, around the Oak Ridge area, they're doing a lot of different things. We're looking at doing certain, you know, business/residential things and maybe having some facilities. If you look at a situation like that, for instance... Mm-hmm. And you work with the city, would that be more feasible?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. But we're talking about things that again, are years away from happening. Mm-hmm. So it brings us back to Rick Tocchet. So if Rick Tocchet's not getting his facility and he's not getting Quinn Hughes, then he wants the money at least.
Yes.
That's how I look at it.
You've got to concede on something.
Yeah.
If you are the Vancouver Canucks. Seems to me like Rick Tocchet is a shrewd negotiator. Hopefully we get an answer on this sooner rather than later. Jeff Rowe, you can't be the only team without something that every other team has, especially yeah. when it's something to help maximize the player's performance level.
For sure.
It's well said.
Yeah, 100%. And this text says you guys went on about UBC, but the facility is exceptional. The rink, it is. All those things are true, but they haven't been able to work out something with UBC, and it doesn't yeah. look like they're going to.
Well, if you could work out a permanent thing with UBC, yeah it would be great, just like it is for the Whitecaps. But
and they never said UBC specifically, but they did say at some point that they were looking at partnering with the current rink and retrofitting it.
Yes.
Which was obvious, being UBC being a candidate
yeah.
that you will look at. And SFU came up too, but obviously that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the SFU one, talk about commute problems. That would yeah. be that would be a situation.
No, and you know, Jim and North Van, Vancouver really land doesn't get cheaper. It doesn't, right? Like, it doesn't get cheaper.
No, even now, it doesn't get cheaper with all the pressuring factors. We're not going to get into that on election day. Not today.
No. Our buddy, the Falconer, put the practice facility into the bay.
Yeah. Then
the bay's leaving.
Yes.
There's a big space.
Multiple floors?
Yeah, multiple floors. Would it even work? I don't think it doesn't feel like it's big enough.
Rink on the basement?
Yeah.
On the base floor?
Yeah.
By the train? People can see it as they walk through the Granville station?
Yeah.
They could. That would be something.
Quite the sight. Mike, the urologist, if they work with Oak Ridge, it's getting done in 10 years, and the world will still be a smoldering husk by then. It's true. I mean, I live around that area.
Yeah.
And I moved there like 5 years ago almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they were working in Oak Ridge. They're still working in Oak Ridge.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's getting close. But
closer.
Still being worked on.
Yeah.
All right. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Let's get to the playoff central roundup. A couple of things of Canucks note here in the roundup. Tom Vilander spoke with Cam Robinson of Elite Prospects and said he is still not yet close on a contract with the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, joy. More positive news on contract negotiations.
Can the Canucks get any negotiation done? Okay, I'm being a little bit over the top, hyperbolic here. It's but it is funny how these two contract situations have now dragged on for weeks on end into the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you usually don't see. And when it gets to this point, it can lead to a... To me, the biggest question here is, does it do irreparable damage to the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
So far from the Canucks side, what I can gather, they're not at that stage.
Yeah.
But the longer these things go
on...
It
doesn't seem like it's there for Vilander
no.
either.
So
it's frustrating. I think the most frustrating thing about it is he's not going to play in the AHL. It's pretty clear now.
Well, that's the other part for me is like, well, there's no urgency on it now because he's not going to play anywhere.
No, so. And maybe Abbey goes on a longer run, and if he signs soon, okay, maybe. But yeah. It's one of those things where you're running out of runway. You're at the very end here.
You're going to drop him into the second round of the AHL playoffs and. Is that going to be a great thing for the development of the player? Would be a question mark there as well. But, you know, he didn't seem to be too upset with the situation, but is holding firm on some of what he wants in the contract. And obviously the Canucks are holding firm on what they want to be in the contract. The Abbotsford Canucks advanced to the second round. 5-0 win over Tucson on Saturday. Shulov's with the AHL playoff shutouts for the series clinching game. They will play the Coachella Valley Thunderbirds in the best of five series starting May 1st in California. So the I-5lery, still without any playoff history, but the AHL franchises, Coachella versus Abbotsford, happening in the next round of the Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah, you're playing out of Palm Springs. Can't be too bad, can it?
It doesn't sound all that bad.
Also named the Coachella Valley Firebirds.
I know,
that's
pretty cool.
Sick.
It's pretty cool.
Shulov's had the shutout in the clinching game. It's nice to see. He had a I think he had a tough game in game two and the one that the Canucks lost. But I guess you're kind of hoping he can start to rebuild confidence within the organization and his future if he has a strong Calder Cup playoffs here?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so, right? And he's one of those players that they may have to rely on next season. I do believe he's close to being waiver eligible next year. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be on the team one way or another, at least until he plays himself on or off the team, right? You're hoping he doesn't play himself off the team at some point. Yeah. But I think he's going to be given every single chance. And does this experience help him out? I do know that organizationally, they felt that game against Tucson to close things out was the best game they played all season.
Yeah. And it showed on the scoreboard, right? They just completely had the tilt of the ice going in their favor. All right, into the playoffs, the Winnipeg Jets are Winnipeg Jetsing it, which means Connor Hellebuck is ghosting in the playoffs. Now three of his four starts have been poor. Jets are 2-2 with the St. Louis Blues. Though, you know, both teams have won their home games, so both teams holding serve to this point.
Yeah, it's going to be a long series, obviously. It probably goes seven at this stage.
Are you believing in the Blues yet now, Sat? I mean, come on.
Not really.
What more evidence do you need? I've been trying to tell you for months that the Blues are somewhat for real.
Yeah, very convincing. They are somewhat for real.
They can win 2 out of 4 games in the first round.
They can get to Connor Hellebuck, who's got a terribly spotty playoff track record.
Well, I'm not convinced.
He's like Patrick Laleem in the playoffs. Oh, sorry, Zach. I didn't.
Patrick Laleem. Wow. Patrick Laleem.
Hey, Patrick Laleem had style.
He did.
Style.
I love the white pads. Yeah. I'm not there with the Blues, but I mean, obviously they can win a series, right? But I'm not sure about, you know, them going on a run here. But does Hellebuck figure it out, or is he just not good in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Some funny stuff does happen. Like, he does get some, like, really unlucky bounces in the playoffs. Like, it's been kind of funny. If you go through all the goals, there's been some, like, funny, awkward things that have happened,
I mean,
too.
Okay, the first goal, whatever, it happens. I didn't love the Tucker goal from the point.
Yeah, that wasn't
like,
great.
I know there was a flash screen going by, but at the same time, like, you're the best goalie in the world. You got to make that save.
Yeah.
And the Jets kind of crumbled after that goal went in, right?
Well, and you can tell, too, with his body language. He's, like, looking at his defenseman and his players, and, you know, he slumps his shoulders. It's just not a great vibe. But that to me is them beating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying the Blues, I mean, even when they scored all those goals, they were getting outshot. What was it? Like 20-6 or whatever it was. And then
the Jets were pretty dominant for the first period. And then they, you know, St. Louis scored at the end of the first. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, to me, you're right. The Blues are, they give them credit for being up 2-2. But to me, this is more about, like, you know, Hellebuck figuring out as you know what.
Playoff Hellebuck, while he continues to struggle, got the Vezina nom today, which we all expected.
This always happens. He gets the Vezina nom in the playoffs. We're like, this guy stinks.
Andre Vasilevskiy and Darcy Kemper, the other Vezina candidates for the trophy this year. Oilers and Golden Knights Both on even terms in their series. Oilers pulled one out of the hat last night. Evan Bouchard giveth, Evan Bouchard taketh
man, honestly,
away. It's like he gave them the win and then he took it away in the dying seconds, both in game three and in game four. He's been on the ice for more goals against, and he scored two goals in each of the last two games to help the Oilers come back, rip themselves from the jaws of defeat and into the spoils of victory.
Now, I will say, every time he's on the ice for a goal against, people will try to blame him. He'll be like standing somewhere else, be like, it's Bouchard's fault. It's like, he wasn't even anywhere near it, right?
I mean, the first one's like, hey, Calvin Pickard, you got to make a save.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes I do think there's a level of like, anytime there's a goal and he's on the ice, like, this guy is horrible. It's like, well, he didn't do anything that time, but he clearly has his problems defensively. And this is why, again, as much as he's scored a lot, he's going to be the type of player that you can't trust in big moments sometimes because he's that bad defensively.
Also, there was a Dan Gingseo moment on Twitter last night.
What did you do? What
the
did you
second
say?
I started tweeting about Evan Bouchard and how bad he was looking in the game, it was 3-1. Or after that third goal, the Kevin Fiala goal, I'm tweeting about Evan Bouchard and how he's going to get 10+ million bucks, and that's really difficult for the Oilers to swallow. What do you know? He scores two goals in the third period and gets them to overtime.
You know what I'm thinking?
Dan Gingseo just living strong.
You know what you should do? And you'll get great engagement for this.
Yeah.
Put out a prediction for the election and then see what happens afterwards. No matter what.
Yeah. Well, that would be something. It's kind of the political waters that I don't tend to like swim in.
Yeah, you really want to test your
first time for everything. Yeah.
You want to test your Dan Gingseo powers here? Can you make political things happen?
No, that's too serious for me. People get way too serious about this.
Could you imagine if you actually did jinx something? People will be so mad at you.
Coming up, we'll get into more of the playoff discussion as Capitals are up 3-1, Leafs are up 3-1 on the Sens. Sens at least get a win in that series. It'll continue tomorrow, plus Tampa, Florida ongoing right now. But up next, Don Taylor is going to join us on Canucks Central. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza. You are listening to Canucks Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.